Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. Woo. John Morant is going to Portland. Mendoza is going on vacation. And the Buffalo Bills fans get a sticker shock on their brand new stadium ticket prices. Juicy. We'll begin today's show with the World Cup that just keeps getting better and better as Messi and Ronaldo continue to dazzle fans with their goals. A witch doctor in Ghana cursed Harry Kane for one game. Cape Verde is on to the knockout round, and their reward is they get to play Argentina and Messi. But as we head into the knockout round, we have Morocco and the Netherlands playing right now. But which game are you most excited for? As we saw Germany lose earlier today.
Auf Wiedersehen.
To Paraguay.
Adios, muchacho.
Adios, muchacho.
A controversial call on a goalkeeper pen. So they're going to look at that one for years to come. And just Paraguay took advantage of the situation and they advanced. No problem.
So, hey, man, Germany had their chances. They had their chances. They missed penalty kicks, man. Like, they way did. Offline.
But that's the thing. You can't leave it up to that. You got to try and go for it, you know? Like, you have very conservative play, and if you're playing very conservatively, just trying to get
could
to that.
Could have used Klaus today.
They could have used a lot. But that's what scares me about Cape Verde versus Argentina and Congo against England. They're not just going to park the bus. They're going to put a fleet of buses in front of them, right? They're just going to try and, you know, hang on and white knuckle it as much as they possibly can. And at some point, you have to try and score, right? You have to, because, okay, fine. You've weathered the storm for 120 minutes. Now you're at pens. Okay. England can run Jude Bellingham, Harry Kane, and the list goes on, right? Argentina can run Messi out there. Alvarez. Come on. Like, you're outclassed. You're outgunned. Anybody can beat anybody. That, yes, that's true. But the probability, the likelihood, swings in the favor of the more talented team the longer it goes. These are deep waters for teams like Cape Verde, for teams like Congo, for teams like, you know, even a team like Ivory Coast, who's been here before. They're still a young team. The waters are going to get deep. What I'm looking forward to, though, of the matchups that we have left, because Canada's already advanced, Brazil is already advanced, this matchup, this was the one that I was most interested in. It's happening right now, and it's kind of a snooze fest. So it's very back and forth, and it seems very conservative. I'm looking at France-Sweden. France is just an embarrassment of riches. They could actually field two teams. That's how deep France is, and they're going for your jugular. Whereas Sweden, they're underrated. They are very underrated. You think, oh, Isak, oh, Elanga, oh, Jokeres. They're playing quite well. You know, they're advanced as one of the top third place teams. They can definitely put a charge into it. They can put a scare into Sweden, into France, rather, much in the same way that Japan put a scare into Brazil today. Remember, Brazil was up 1-0. Japan was up 1-0 on Brazil. So if these teams that are perceived as lesser than or the underdog, if they play it safe, they're going home. You gotta get out on there. You gotta be aggressive. You have to chase the game. You can't sit back and let the game come to you, because at the end of the day, you're going up against more talented, deeper, better teams. But I'm looking at France, Sweden is a good one. Spain, Austria should be really good. I think Spain is going to come out of that, but that's going to be toe-to-toe. And even Colombia-Ghana is relatively evenly matched. I'd be interested to see what's going to happen there, but we are definitely, we're in the round where an upset would be a true upset. Like Paraguay today. But yes, they went to pens. Yes, there was a controversial call. They still had to go and do it, and Paraguay went and did it.
Well, they ruined the 4th of July for me. We're supposed to have some France-Germany on the 4th of July in Philly. Crushed. This destroyed that plan.
Well, let's talk about the brackets here. Like, you could have... You're telling me you couldn't have had Philly host the potential England game on the 4th of July on America's 250th birthday? That seems like a missed opportunity. That seems like a major missed opportunity by FIFA.
That would have been wild.
So what are you looking for the most?
For me, yeah, I mean, this, the Netherlands-Morocco, I think you said it's a bit of a snoozer, but they're going at each other, man. Like, they're knocking each other down. It's been a very physical game. Very physical.
Yeah, so, it's physical, but there's really, it's very much like the early rounds of a boxing match. Like, they're jabbing. They're just jabbing each other. I don't know how long before somebody tries to throw a haymaker. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah. The other one I'm looking forward to is Portugal and Croatia. I think Croatia is going to knock them out. And that's the other one in the first round I'm looking forward to. I think Mexico, Ecuador is a bore. England, Congo, bore. Switzerland, Algeria, bore. Colombia, Ghana, you said you're interested in that one. I think the witch doctor is going to help out on that one. Put a curse on Harry Kane for just one game. Said he's going to name his son Harry Kane, though. That's nice.
It is nice.
This is such just a bullshit group here, because they've pretty much cakewalked it for Argentina. With Switzerland, Algeria, Colombia, Ghana, Austria, Australia, and Egypt. They cakewalked it for Argentina there. Such crap. USA better show up and show out and beat Bosnia and then have a nice little showdown with Senegal. So, yeah, I mean, those are the ones I'm really looking for. I'm excited for the next round.
Yeah, another missed opportunity. How is America not playing on the 4th of July? They're round. If they beat Bosnia, and that's a big if, their next matchup would be July 6th. Born on the 6th of July. No, it's the 4th of July. What are we doing here? Come on now.
What are we doing indeed?
You had an opportunity for whimsy, and you pissed it away.
I'm upset Japan lost. They had a nice little one-goal lead. You gotta close that out. You gotta close those, Fokker. You gotta spike those, Fokker. Come on, man.
But you know what? What did we say? That height was going to be their problem, and Casemiro, midfielder, his height was used to his advantage. And then Martinelli, just from range, like, I mean, at that point, what the hell are you going to do? Like, it's, you know, Kai Havertz, I think, had a similar goal to level up the Paraguay match. It's like, sometimes the long balls go in, and it's one of those things
They earned it. They earned it. I'm not going to take away from Brazil.
They took it 100%.
Yeah, they did. It's just, you know, you get up on a team like that, and it's just like you got to do everything you can to stay up. And I don't know what.
But you could also tell Brazil wanted this one, because the last time they played, Japan won.
Yeah. Hey, man, I thought Japan played a great group matches. They were a really good team. They really were. I've had them in the Netherlands as my dark horses. And I hope the Netherlands can pull it off here. But no, I mean, it's been exciting so far. Like, even the teams that suck, even the teams that are bad, like, watching Cape Verde play was fun. It was fun. Watching Canada play. Canada won. Canada advanced, I think, for the first time ever in the World Cups. And I believe South their Africa coach is a former them. U.S. player. What?
South Africa hung with them. Like, yeah. Let's be real here. Yeah. South Africa put a
fight. Oh, my God. The women in the crowd in the South African game. Jeez. Those girls single? Are they really single? Plus, how did you afford to go to this game by yourself with your best friend who's just as hot as you are? It's crazy stuff.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan Brake Pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
Yeah, going down to the NBA, which continues to try to stay in the news. They had their draft last week. We won't know for another 2 or 3 years how good any of these players actually are, but what did you like about the draft last week?
That it was on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. That's right. Good job, guys.
Now they're trying to make trades this week. The NBA to shut the fuck up for a bit.
What are we doing here? And now there are rumors about... You know, now there's rumors about Steph Curry and LeBron and AD forming a super team.
And Malik Beasley shaving points.
Yes, and then LaMelo Ball gets traded. Ja Morant, we'll talk about Ja Morant more. But honestly, with the draft, we're not going to know anything about these guys long term. Like, yeah, you'll have your players who will... You know, do what you think they're going to do. Like, you think DeBanta is going to be really good. He's going to get a chance to play. He's on a shit team. But you're going to play. Darren Peterson, you hope he's going to be... Well, we're going to see how that happens because he only took meetings with the Wizards. So he's meeting Danny Ainge for the first time. It's like, hey, man, nice to meet you. Like, that's awesome. That's great. You're going to get a chance to play because Utah sucks. Cameron Boozer, you're now the focal point of the team. They just traded Ja Morant. They traded Jackson, they traded Bane, and they traded Ja. That team is going fucking nowhere fast.
Rebuild.
Yeah, rebuild. Like, this team...
And they lost their coach too, right?
They did. And just a couple of years ago, they were going up against the Thunder. Right? At one point, weren't they number two? They were the number two seed in the West at one point.
Yeah.
We need to study the fall of the Memphis Grizzlies. What the fuck happened to the Memphis Grizzlies? And then a whole bunch of nothing, man. Like, okay, Keaton Wagler to the Clippers, fine, whatever. Caleb Wilson should be fine with the Bulls. But, you know, your boy Zuby, he's with the Hawks, right? They took him. Like, that's awesome. Yep. Good for St. John's. Like, you got somebody in the draft.
Dylan Mitchell got drafted too, and so did one other guy got drafted.
There you go. A lot of trades. A lot of trades happen. So, and Zuby was a first rounder too. So there you go. There's that. So the Knicks are moving guys around, like trading a bunch, you know.
Well, the Knicks are signing people to some large contracts. They just gave Alvarado $14 million, Shamet $24 million. These guys are backup guards. How much money are you dishing out for backup guard play?
Well, apparently, unlike another team that wears orange and blue, they're keeping the culture together. they believe in what they've built. They believe,
what we're doing here.
I believe in what we're doing here. Exactly. Do I talk now? When I point at you, yes. So, it's the long game. You're planting seeds and hoping that some of these guys do well. Like, I'm sure that, you're hoping that if you're the Grizzlies, for example, like, you're hoping that a guy like Richie Saunders turns into something, right? You're hoping that, Malik Thomas, if you're...
You're hoping the arena burns down and you can cash in on some insurance money.
Right. You're hoping that if you're the Pacers, you hope that Braden Smith becomes somebody, right? Because it happened with Brunson and it happened with Nikola Jokic, that second round players, and Draymond Green. It happened to Draymond Green. Like, you're hoping that this is what happens down the road. But the likelihood is that these guys will be in your G League. That is where you're filling out your roster. So we will learn nothing from the draft. We will learn absolutely ugats from the draft for at least a few years. Like, we'll learn about the top three, but that's about it.
You'd say within the next 5 years.
Probably, yeah. I'd say 5 years is pretty conservative, but we'll know. You kind of know who's good and who's not. Right. You kind of knew.
Yeah, that, we'll find out who's a professional basketball player.
Right. You knew that when Anthony Bennett stepped on the court, he had no business being
oh,
there.
Oh, shit.
Right. When Kwame Brown stepped out there, he was like, oh, fuck. When Michael Jordan was, you know, retired oh. Michael Jordan was beating him in one-on-one. There you go. That's all you need to know. When the Candyman showed up for the Clippers, like, these are, they weren't ready for prime time. And whoever's not ready is going to get exposed. And
well, I like what the Bulls did. I like how they picked up the kid, Caleb Wilson.
Yeah.
But then they went and got Dalen Swain. They got a nice little backcourt going on.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that becoming something in the next 5 years.
Oh, and Netherlands just scored.
Oh, I'm on delay. Love it. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Bringing in Yakbo. Woo!
But I like what they were doing, and it kind of reminds me of what the 76ers have with Maxi, and then they go and get Ejikom, who I think is going to be like the next Dwayne Wade. Like, if you're saying you can have buy stock in one team in the next 5 years, wouldn't you buy stock in the Charlotte Hornets? Don't you like what they've got going on?
I'm confused by the Charlotte Hornets. I'm always confused by the Charlotte Hornets because it always seems
they were trying to give her a little mellow ball. That's basically what this is. They built up his stock big enough where they can actually get rid of him.
But then they also dealt Miles Bridges to the Suns.
Who was a problem.
Yeah.
He was another problem.
Yeah, but you're bringing in Grayson Allen. You're bringing in another problem.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? It feels like one step forward, two steps back for the Charlotte Hornets.
It just looks like they're going to build around Con Canepo, which I'm cool with because it just got his rookie card.
So that's fine, but then you're looking at it, you know, I just don't. You have Trey Mann. Is Brandon Miller actually legit?
Like, yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player.
But is he a franchise
no.
player here?
No, but he's a good player. Hey, basketball player.
The best thing they did was get Naz Reid.
Yes.
Naz Reid is going to be good.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I'm buying into the Hornets stock. I like what they got going on. I think it was a smart move. And, hey, the Minnesota backcourt was going to be a problem for some people. You're going to have Anthony Edwards, and he's got now LaMelo Ball, a guy who can score, who can help him out. I don't really get it from Minnesota's standpoint. It kind of got weird. I think they're frustrated with the way Julius Randle played in the playoffs, but I mean, that's who he is, you know, and I don't think
off to Brooklyn.
Yeah. And I don't think he's necessarily a bad player. He's not the reason why you lost, but he's certainly not going to help. You know, he's just a guy, right? He's just a guy. He's a facilitator. That's what he is. And I like what Minnesota's trying to build there. Darius Acuff Jr. to the Kings. Gives you a reason to go watch the Kings now. we're gonna see what he's about. We're gonna see what that team is about. You know, if Anthony Davis stays, if he goes, and you know, are they gonna finally be relevant? Can they be a play-in team? They should be. They certainly should be.
That's the thing though. We've been saying that. The Washington Wizards should be good for, what, 20 years now? Since, what, Bradley Beal and John Wall? We've been waiting for them to be good. And they've done everything in their power to fuck it up. everything in their power. They're like the Memphis Grizzlies. One step forward, two steps back. We're taking every precaution possible to fuck this up. Right? So it's to the point where I don't trust them. Like, you, yeah, that's great. You, good job. Good job. Now you got to go and prove it. Now you actually have to do it. This Charlotte team was one game from being in the play-in tournament. Now you're going to go get the number one pick, probably. Like, I don't know if you're going to be that, you know, because other teams are getting better. You figure Orlando is going to be better than an 8 seed, right? You would figure. You figure the Wizards are on the come. You figure the Bucks are going to be back. You figure...
I like the 76ers. Let's not even root them out, man.
Right.
They've got aspiring contracts, and I really do think I like their backcourt. I mean, I like what they're trying to do with the backcourt.
Right.
I get
and
it.
And the Raptors can reinforce things if they get Kawhi Leonard back. Why? Why? Can somebody explain to me why the Clippers are trying to trade Kawhi Leonard back to a team he didn't want to be with in the first place? Can someone explain that to me?
Denzel Washington wants to... party's over, man. They're not going to win. They're not going to win with him. And, you know, the no-show job has created, you know, news story that they can't get to go away.
No.
And, you know, it's just... At some point, you look at what you've got and what you're doing, and you're like, we're not winning. So what are you here for? You're not winning games for us. So,
no. Steve Ballmer, I would say it's been a catastrophic failure for him as owner of the Clippers so far. Yeah, you got the Intuit Dome. Awesome. That's great. Awesome. Good job. Again, good job. Now you actually have to put a winning product on the court. And that's proving to be hard.
Well, sticking with basketball, as we mentioned a little earlier, Ja Morant has been traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Portland Trailblazers for Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray. So the Grizzlies are no longer going to be relevant. And they've shipped him to the Pacific Northwest, where he's going to team with Dame Lillard. Could he potentially be moved again? Or do you think he's going to stay in Portland?
I'm confused. Because you also have Drew Holiday there. You also have Scoot Henderson there. You also have a whole lot of nothing there. Okay. Oh, you have Matisse Thybulle. Robert Williams.
Thybulle or Thybulle?
Is it Thybulle? Or is it
I don't know.
I've heard both.
Wow.
It shows you that level
tomato,
of
tomato.
Care. Tomato, tomato. It's a woozy. It's a wazzy. It's a fugazi. It's a fugazi.
Fugazi, fugazi.
It's a woozy. It's fairy dust. Just like being in Portland. It's fairy dust. It doesn't exist. Right, what are we doing here?
I wonder if Boston's going to try to get in on this.
They want Drew Holiday back?
They should.
They should go
but
get
maybe
Drew
they're
going
to try to get Dame Lillard and Durant. I'm not Durant. And Morant. Maybe that's the play.
For Jaylen Brown?
Can you send Jaylen Brown to the Pacific Northwest? I don't know. I've heard them talking about him in Denver. I think I messaged you about that today.
Yeah. No, you did. You did.
Denver willing to give Jamal Murray and Cam Johnson and a pick. Cam Johnson's your shooter, like I told you. And then Murray's your point guard.
They have Derek White. They don't really need Jamal Murray.
Shooting guard. He can shoot. He can shoot. That's what he wants to do. He wants to shoot anyway. Just shoot, 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 shoot.
I think you'll be very disappointed in that trade when Jamal Murray only plays 57 games.
I think you were the one that was saying you should call the Boston Celtics should call the Spurs, right?
Yeah. The Celtics should call the Spurs. Like there's plenty there. And now you have the interesting part of Draymond Green declining his option to become a free agent. Now, I don't know if you're really gonna, if you're considering him part of the big four that they would try to put together, if they're actively courting LeBron and AD to go to Golden State. Like, I don't think you consider him the big four, right? It would be him, Jimmy, Steph. It would be Jimmy, Steph, LeBron, and AD, right? There's no room for a big five. I don't think you have Draymond Green.
We also will have the same number too, the 23. That's true. That would pose a problem. I don't think LeBron's changing his number for anybody.
No, he could go back to 6.
I think he's contractually. I think he has to keep 23 for his Nike contract.
And Porzingis went back there too. So Porzingis, I think, is back as well.
No, is he?
I think he went back.
That'd be wild.
So I'm pretty sure he inked the contract today, but I can double check that. But, you know, that could be, you know, we've been talking about, 2 years, $40
million. My man.
For the Warriors. So that's interesting.
$40 million.
Honestly, that's, to me, you keep Anthony Davis away from this team. There you go. There's your center. There's Porzingis. Like, go roll with that. The one who's, the man who was once called a unicorn. You stick with that. But as far as the Ja Morant deal, like, Portland's a fucking mess, dude. Even
that's like a terrible place to send Ja Morant, by the way.
Right.
You know, Pacers.
You know, as I heard online, they needed shooters, but not that kind of shooter. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And like you said, the Grizzlies are on the road to not even the treadmill of mediocrity, the road of irrelevance. Like, this is just, it's an absolute shit way to go. And the owner of the Trailblazers, I just don't understand, right? Like, he cheaped out on Tiago Splitter to the point where Tiago Splitter's like, fuck you, I'm out. I'm going to go coach the Bulls. Like, he wouldn't print playoff shirts to, you know, just as a little something for the courtside fans. Fuck you. Because, and then, you know, he wouldn't, I don't think he had either like the staff or he, one of them weren't allowed to travel with the team when they were on the road, or like the practice squad player, like the taxi squad players, like weren't allowed to travel with the team. Like, that owner is just like odd, man. Like, he's just like pinching fucking pennies here. It's like, you're supposed to be rich, dude. Like, what are you doing here? Like, are a few thousand t-shirts wholesale, that's going to really burn a hole in your pocket? You know, bringing in Tiago Splitter as the permanent head coach after he got your team to the playoffs? Because the guy that was there got caught up in the gambling? Lest we forget, Chauncey Billups, you know, he was a part of that gambling thing with Terry Rozier. Portland's a fucking crazy ass place to play, and then you add John Morant to the mix. Nah, dude. I'm out. I'm sorry.
For that reason, I'm out.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. Fuck you. I'm out.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Well, moving over to football, the Buffalo Bills will be playing in Highmark Stadium this year, which is a brand new stadium that Governor Hochul helped them secure in Western New York. Aside from the cheapest ticket in the new stadium going for $700, another surprising detail will be the omission of running back O.J. Simpson from the Ring of Honor. O.J. was an electrifying running back for the Bills in the 70s, collecting over 10,000 yards and 57 touchdowns in his Hall of Fame career. However, off the field, he domestically abused his wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and was tried for being responsible for her death and spent a great deal of time in prison. So were the Bills right in keeping OJ's name off of Highmark Stadium?
Clearly, if the glove don't fit, y'all full of shit. Yeah. So there's that. And let's not forget that in 97, OJ was found liable in the civil court. Yeah. So that's usually an end-around case of guilty in the court of public opinion. Yeah, we didn't get you in the criminal court. We found you were found not guilty in a criminal court. Something happened.
America.
And then he got caught up in the sports memorabilia thing, and, you know, he took guys hostage at gunpoint.
Yeah, I think he died in prison, right?
He died in prison, yeah. So wrote the book, If I Did It.
This is how I did it.
Like, if I were to do it, this is how I would do it.
Brilliant.
Jesus Christ. But I think the Buffalo Bills...
OJ, you think we should change the name of this? Nah, man, it's original.
It's beautiful.
All right, Juice. All right.
Give me the fucking Pulitzer. Give me the Peabody. Right now. Just give it to me right now. But, you know, the Bills are extricating themselves from this, and they're within their right, and I think it's a good idea for them to do so, because, you know, you'd have to explain the issue going along with it. Not only was he a DA, right? Not only was he an acquitted murderer. Like, it's just many, many layers that, frankly, have nothing to do and that eclipse what he did on the field. It's like Chris Benoit. You're just going to erase him from existence. Sometimes it's easier to forcibly separate the art from the artist.
I get it. I don't know. I mean, I find it hard for the Buffalo Bills to tell the history of their organization and their franchise without O.J. Simpson. That's the only thing. And I'm not saying he was this great person, but he was a really good football player. And, you know, he made some mistakes, but, I mean... How do we know that the things that didn't transpire after his career was over was due to CTE or was due to what the abuse his body took on the football field? I still watch the Naked Gun movies and they're still funny. Am I not supposed to watch them anymore? Like, I don't know. You know, I listen to R. Kelly music. I listen to Puff Daddy music. I don't know. I mean, you know.
It's difficult to separate the art from the artist. Like, if you can do it, that's fine. But at the same time, it's like you don't need to draw any unnecessary attention to it. And you don't need to have your name associated with it. I can see that side of the argument. Like the Chris Benoit thing. Like, why would you...
Why not take it to a vote? Why not let the fans decide, right? Would that have been such a bad thing? Maybe the fans, have an affection for OJ. You know, I don't know. It is their taxpayer dollars that are paying for this freaking place, you know? I don't know. I don't think it's so cut and dry. And I get everybody's stance on it. And I agree. Well, what he did, I mean, he wasn't a great person after he retired. And he made a lot of mistakes. And he went to prison. I mean, he did time. He missed out on a lot of things in life because of the mistakes he made. But in the 70s, he was a premier athlete, running back, and football player. And, you know, we're just going to pretend like that didn't happen.
Yeah. But then bringing it up, you're absolutely right. Like, having his brain tested, I would have been interested to see if he did have the signs of CTE.
I would think so. I mean,
who knows? We're never going to know now.
We'll never know.
You know, and that's why, like, you think about guys like Junior Seau, who did what they did and purposely did it in such a way so as to preserve their brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. If you look at Junior Seau. Junior Seau had a marked change in his outlook and marked change in his personality and his behavior. Like, I don't know if OJ necessarily had that. It kind of sounds like, just from the context of discovery and how the trial went, and, you know, as we learned more in the in the process, it was always there. So I don't know. It's a fascinating argument. We'll never know. And that's unfortunate. Yeah. That's unfortunate because that could have been, you know, that could have been something that not absolves, but gives a different light. But as of right now, we can only go by what we know. And what we know is it's complicated.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style, featuring Hypercool Jade technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that can be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
All right, moving on to baseball. The New York Mets decided to part ways with their manager, Carlos Mendoza, after amassing a 34-37 record this season. I'll cede the floor to you on this one. Too early, too late, or just on time?
2 months too late. 2 months too late. You had the opportunity.
You're not putting this on him, right?
No, no. But if you were, right, who's the first person to go when you want to try and spark a team? The manager. The Red Sox did it with Cora. Didn't go as well. But the Phillies did it with Don Mattingly, and all of a sudden,
they're in second.
A rocket up their ass.
Yeah, right past the Marlins.
So a rocket straight up, right? So for whatever reason, Rob Thompson's getting tuned out. Now Don Mattingly's getting tuned in. Fine. Carlos Mendoza was okay, right? Career 207, 201 as a manager. Just there. Like around 500. Some of his decisions are quizzical. Some of his decisions were downright bad. His ability to manage a bullpen, not great. The pitching.
Call out a bullpen?
Three or four performances are actually decent. Brazoban's having a good year. Raley's been up and down. Weaver hasn't given up a run in 2 months. And then you have Devin Williams, which I'll get to in a second. But did not get the most out of this team. They were streaky. They've been streaky. That's who they are. But he did not maximize it to the best of their capabilities. He's the fall guy. He's the fall guy. Francisco Lindor came out and said, "We failed Carlos Mendoza." Okay. Fine. I agree with that statement. You failed Carlos Mendoza. You did. You did. With your shitty ass play this year. Right? With your month of April, which is putrid, and then, yeah, you were able to finish second in MVP, but you had to play so far over your head that you could not achieve those numbers again. And you're just kind of there. Juan Soto was not the answer. Juan Soto was definitely not the answer. Because Juan Soto doesn't pitch. Last time I checked, Juan Soto doesn't pitch. You brought in.
Looks like Peterson pitches for another team now.
He did, and the first pitch he served up was a fucking homer. So it's nice to see that it wasn't his time with the Mets. David Peterson was just shot. But for a good 2 months last year, David Peterson was fantastic. It wasn't Jeremy Hefner's fault, because look at the Braves. Braves are doing just fine. Braves pitching staff doing A-OK with Jeremy Hefner. This falls, or it should fall, on two entities. The front office and the players. You're not maximizing your account, your talent and availability and ability. That's on you as an individual player. But why the fuck? You bring in Bo Bichette, What position did Bobby Shett play in Toronto?
Shortstop, second base.
Shortstop. Mostly shortstop. I think he played some second base, too. Why is he playing third? My man never played third base before in his life. Maybe in Little League. Maybe in Little League. And he's been terrible at third base. He's been fucking awful. Now, you traded Brandon Nimmo, a left fielder, for Marcus Semien, a second baseman. And you stuck Brett Beatty out in the outfield, sometimes at third base. His best position last year was second base. I'm confused. You let Pete Alonso walk, which, okay, fine. You have your feelings about sluggers and how they age. David Stearns is clear about that. We'll replace him with Jorge Polanco. Is he ever going to play again this year? I got a question. He asked out of his rehab because apparently he was still having some issues with his heel. Fuck, we're doing here. So his replacement is Jared Young and Mark Vientos. Mark Vientos has been fucking terrible this year. Yeah, he's hit 11 home runs. Bully. Fantastic. Look at the periphery numbers. Look at his play defensively. Alvarez got hurt again. There's no way you can come back that quickly and still be 100%. But from what we've gotten from him, he's been . So you have Beatty, who's not a major leaguer. You have Vientos, who's proving to be a DH. You have Alvarez, who has shown flashes. He could be, potentially. Maybe. I don't know. And then you have Ronnie Mauricio, who they just brought back up, and he can't hit a curveball. Trying to say Jesus Christ. No, I'm trying to say Ronnie Mauricio can't hit a curveball. Jesus Christ, get Park a curveball. Okay? So you have those four prospects who were suspects, and now they're duds. Complete duds. Benj and Ewing, they look okay. They look to be the real deal. Pitching. Kodai Senga. Get him off the fucking team. You get an ERA of 10. 10! 10! How do you do that? Ow! Manaea. Awful. What are we doing?
Manaea was pitching tonight. Did they win?
Not sure. Let's look that up real quick. Let's look at that real quick. Christ, I can't find it. The hell with as the great Harry. No, they lost 2-1 to the Blue Jays. To the point where Ron Darling said, "Holy 2015 World Series." They booted the friggin' the left fielder booted it and turned it inside the park home run for George Springer. What the fuck? The whole point of this was pitching and run prevention. You brought in Freddy Peralta. You brought in all these guys. They can't prevent runs, and they can't pitch. The fuck? And that falls on David Stearns. The moves that you made make no fucking sense. They made no fucking sense. Yeah, I get Pete Alonso's having a mid-year. You would take a mid-year from Pete Alonso on this team. You would take a mid-year from Brandon Nimmo on this team. You would take... God. Everybody you got rid of, with the exception of Edwin Diaz. The only one that got right was Diaz because he got hurt. Which we could have called from a mile away. Edwin Diaz was going to get hurt. You're bringing Devin Williams. Terrible fucking idea. You brought in Tobias Myers. He got fucking lit up to the point you had to send him to AAA. He came back. He got lit up again. You brought in Freddy Peralta. He sucked for a month and a half. Now he's just merely okay. You got guys out of position. You got pitchers who can't pitch. You got hitters who can't hit. And you got people who can't field. What the fuck? It is an abject failure. An F all the way around. Now, how do you fix it? This year's done. This year's done. How do you fix it? How do you move forward? You trade anything that's not nailed down. Anybody that's got fucking value. And it starts with the guy that you didn't name captain. Lindor will have value someplace with somebody. Seattle, Cleveland, somebody will want Francisco Lindor. Right? Luke Weaver hasn't allowed a run in 2 months. He's got value. Trade Luke Weaver. Right? You're not trading Juan Soto. He makes too much money. That's not happening. You've hitched your wagon to Juan Soto. Brazoban will get you a prospect. Brooks Raley will probably get you a prospect. May not be a guy that excites you, but it might be a guy that could one day fill out your roster. Manaea will get you nothing. Senga will get you less than nothing. Somehow Peterson got you a prospect. Got you a guy who's on the Myrtle Beach Pelicans. Awesome. He's a first baseman. He's actually a first baseman. He'll be in right field next week.
Well, I've only ever played first. That's all right. Play the right field. Tell him, Wash. It's easy. It's incredibly hard.
Beatty sent to the moon. Vientos sent to the moon with Beatty. Just anybody who's having a good season, just clean house. And the guy that you tabbed as your interim manager, you've already said isn't coming back next year. He's going right back into the front office in his analytics role. The bean counters and the math people have destroyed this team, and then the players have just finished the job. Jesus Christ. And I know for a fact he can't... I get that Juan Soto got his ring and he got his money. But you can't tell me that Juan Soto's looking around in the clubhouse like, what the fuck am I doing here? I could be in left field. Cody Bellinger could be in center field. Aaron Judge could be in right field.
Nah, he don't care about that stuff.
He don't give a shit about that because he got his
ring. He cared you to just stay with the Yankees. He didn't care about it. He don't want to win.
No, he doesn't want to win at all.
Listen, but, I mean, we've talked about it a bunch of times, but I really feel like this all came to a point 2 years ago when they beat the Brewers in that bullshit playoff series. They thought they had a team that was capable of winning championships. And instead of really taking a deep dive into what this team lacked and what was wrong, they decided to build on what they had, and they didn't have anything. You know, I get what you're saying with Pete Alonso, but it's not the answer. Lindor was a terrible signing. There is no pitching staff.
There's no pitching staff.
There's no pitching staff. There's no pitching staff. No pitching staff at all. So this was just destined to go the way it's going. You have a team like the Marlins who actually look like a competent team every time they go out there. They got 9 guys that love playing baseball and are trying to avidly win every game. This team doesn't hustle. They don't run to first.
And it starts with Mr. $165 million.
Yeah.
Jogging. It's fucking jogging to first.
J is silent.
Oh, it's a soft J. It's jogging.
Yeah. I mean, this is the problem. It's like you got guys that are not running hard to first base. You got people booting balls. People missing signs. Terrible base running. It's not Mendoza's fault. And I don't fault him at all. I mean, he took a job and it was a good job. I just think that I kind of blame Major League Baseball a little bit for this because you gave a team that didn't have hope. And because you did that, you set them back like 5 years. Like, if they don't make the playoffs, if they have one of the terrible collapse, they don't make the playoffs, it's a different offseason. I really truly feel that way. I feel like there are different moves made. People who they kept around would have been gone. They would have got more value out of some of their players that they had than what they did. I think Nimmo goes more than just Marcus Semien in that, you know?
He should have anyway. Like, got an older player who's not as good. Got steal. Good job. Yeah. Good job, Stern.
So that's what I'm just trying to say. Where does the buck start? Where does the buck stop, right? And it's just like, is it the owner? Is it their general manager? I think it's all of it. It just goes to show you, you can't just pull out your bank book and just spend all this money without putting a team together. You tried that. Said Beatty's not a professional baseball player. Sorry, he's just not. You're a very good player, just not a professional baseball player. And I'm glad they're bringing Benj and Ewing. Bring those guys up. Let them play. Bring them. Bring everybody up and let them play. You're going to come in last place in the National League East this year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got a manager that you've already told is not coming back, so he don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. That means the players don't give a shit. What are they going to play for this guy for? He's not going to be here next year. I don't give a shit. Nobody gives a shit. No. And I'm somewhere in the middle of August, or maybe the beginning of August, your most expensive player is not going to want to play anymore. He's like, all right, this season's over. My back's kind of tight. My knee hurts. I'm going on the injured list. And that's it.
So you know? In the offseason, do you explore trading Juan Soto?
No, I would trade everybody except for him. I think I told you I'd keep about five guys, you know, him being one of them. And I'd get rid of everybody else, and we'd need to start over. But I would start it differently. I'd start it with pitching. That's where I need to go. I need to get five guys that can throw strikes.
Here's the funny part, though. They did that. Remember? They had Harvey, Wheeler, Syndergaard. They tried it with the pitching. They had Colon. A miserable failure, right? They got to the World Series in 2015 then just kind of underachieved. You could say that group underachieved. With the exception of
the World Series, man. Like, they got there.
And then got nothing out of that, right? Like, you're the all-about winning guy, right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, that's an abject failure. Like, you never made it back. Never mind win one. You never made it back.
True.
So then, okay, we're going to invest a shit ton of money, and we're going to buy the thing. We're going to get Verlander. We're going to get Scherzer. We're going to trade for Lindor and extend him. We're going to do all... And then that was a miserable fucking failure.
Well, I disagreed with the Lindor signing. I told you at the time I didn't like it. I still don't like it. I don't really get it. I don't get his value. I mean,
the acquisition was a wash.
I'd rather have Otto Lopez from the Marlins. He seems to be a damn fine player.
I mean, at the time, it only cost you Jimenez and Amed Rosario, who were, you know, Rosario's a utility player, and Andrés Giménez is hanging on until they reacquire Bo Bichette from the Mets. Let's be real here. So that's another guy. Adios, muchacho. Like, just go back to Toronto. But he's got an opt-out. He can be a free agent. So they don't even need to trade him. He can just walk. But they've tried everything, right? They tried to build through the minor leagues. They tried to make smart trades. They've tried to spend like the Yankees used to spend, and nothing has worked, right? So they tried bringing in, you know, Brody Van Wagenen. Like, oh, we have the agent, right? He was going to provide an outside perspective. Hired Mickey Callaway. How'd that work? We're going to bring in Buck Showalter and then neuter him. Okay, how'd that work out? Hire Carlos Beltran. Oh, he was a part of the Astros sign-stealing thing. Never going to even coach. So Luis Rojas, backup plan.
But they'll put him in the Ring of Honor.
They will put him in the Ring of Honor as a player. Maybe he'll come back. Well, he resigned. They didn't fire him. I think he resigned. But you brought in Luis Rojas. He wasn't bad. Wasn't good.
Cookie?
No, I don't think he's related to Cookie. He might be. I don't know. I got to do a deep dive on that. But he's the third base coach for the Yankees now, so there's that. And they replaced him with Mendoza, who was the bench coach for the Yankees. So, yeah, he alphabetized Boone's binders, I think. I think that's one of the main roles is the bench coach of the Yankees. I don't know. I honestly don't know. They've tried old school. They've tried new school. They've tried youth. They've tried veterans. They need the Gone Witch Doctor. They need Danhausen. They need to come. Somebody needs to perform a freaking exorcism on this franchise. Because nothing they seem to do. And now they've gone through two owners. Because Wilpon sold to Cohen. Second verse, same as the first. So I don't really know what the fuck is going on. So it's going to be a long summer. It's going to be a long summer. And I will be going out to Citi Field for a couple games. So we'll see. We'll see. He's already starting to censor the fans who are saying fire Stern.
Yeah, this is not going to end well this year. It's going to be a catastrophic failure, even more of a catastrophic failure.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
Well, going crosstown, the New York Yankees were swept by the Red Sox last night in Boston and were no-hit by Sonny Gray into the eighth inning. Today, Mize from the Detroit Tigers struck out eight. And only gave up one hit. Very, very impressive for that mediocre pitcher. The Yankees have the best run differential in the shitty American League and are widely picked to represent the American League in the World Series. Did Boston expose who the Yankees really are this weekend? Or will they continue to win without Judge or Stanton in the lineup?
This is going to be a long summer. This is absolutely going to be a long summer. Because who are you banking on being good here? Cody Bellinger he's been good.
Well, Ben Rice is the MVP. That's not even...
Ben Rice has been good. Cody Bellinger has been good. Yes. So.
Bellinger's an all-star. He's an all-star, Dave.
He's an all-star. Great. Lots of people are all-stars. Caballero has been mediocre at best. For a guy who's fast and a guy who's a base stealer, he seems to get picked off quite a lot. That's a problem.
Goldschmidt an MVP? Goldschmidt the Hall of Famer?
Goldschmidt's been good.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
He'll probably get consideration. I think he's one of those guys who is eventually like a committee guy. I think people are going to look kindly on him. And like 20 years from now, they'll be like, yeah, Paul Goldschmidt, he's an MVP. He's a Hall of Famer. He's okay. He's a good player. He had a nice run. But, I don't know. Right now, he's in a reserve role. He's doing great. He's doing fantastic. Spencer Jones has been okay. Dominguez has been meh. Volpe is Volpe. It really is a two-horse... It's a two-man offense. It's Bryce,
Goldschmidt, MVP, 4-time Gold Glove winner, 5-time Silver Slugger, 7-time All-Star. Not bad.
Cuspy. And you've gotten contributions from Jazz. That's about it. You have to play guys like Max Schumann. You have to play Amed Rosario. You're playing these guys because your horses aren't there. You're playing Ryan McMahon, and Ryan McMahon got hurt. So, it's a soft underbelly. The Red Sox didn't expose anything. This is the roster. This is what it is, man. This is it. They need desperately to get some higher level talent on this roster. I don't know where you go to get that. Is that calling the Mets about Lindor to play shortstop? I don't know. Is that, you know, who is totally like bottoming out? Who are you gonna try and pick off of the Royals? The Royals are in DFL, right? Those are the teams that are like down and out that you're gonna want to.
Sally Perez?
Maybe they want a right-handed hitting catcher. That's not a bad idea.
Because a catcher that can fucking hit.
Right. I mean, Austin Wells has been mediocre at best. JC Ascar should probably go back to doing Uber. He's in AAA right now. And then Ben Rice is probably, you know, Ben Rice is your best offensive catcher and you got to play him at first. So there's that. So, Salvi Perez would be interesting. I would like to see that. I don't know. I mean, at this point in time, it probably wouldn't cost you a hell of a lot. So, why not? The rotation's shaping up.
Austin Wells, 162 at-bats, 160 batting average, 4 home runs, 9 RBIs, 5.10 OPS, His manager says, I feel like he's moving the needle right now.
One needle.
Which direction? There's a needle?
There's a needle? If, you know what? If this was 98, there'd be a needle. Ba-dum-ts. Oh. Oh. But
that's dog shit. You could do this. You could do this right now.
Oh, completely. Right. I mean, now. He's been having these cervical headaches. Like, I'm guessing he's been suffering from migraines.
No, he's been watching himself play.
But he got away from the Dominican Republic team and he cratered. Like, I don't know what the hell happened there. Placata. He used to Placata. I don't know what happened now. But then you go to, like, the rotation is fine. They'll be okay. They'll get freed back eventually. You have Rodon. You have Cole. You finally have Cole back. Warren is okay. Schlittler is the best of the bunch. We're going to go see him tomorrow. Let's go. Schlittler Scoobel. Let's fucking go. Weathers is decent. He has his moments, but for the most part, he's been decent. That bullpen, I'm not in love with. Bednar's a ride. Bednar's an absolute ride. Camilo Doval. I was at the game. I was at the White Sox game with Mrs. Z. He gave up the grand slam on the first pitch. We're like, let's go home. Let's beat the traffic. So, the Red Sox didn't expose much of anything. It's there if you look. If you're really looking hard enough, you can see where the Yankees are lacking. But to get almost no hit by Sonny Gray is inexcusable. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. To almost get no hit by a guy who's probably going to get traded, who was dog shit for you, that's a bridge too far.
Told you, Mize had 8 strikeouts today. One gave up only one hit in his innings of service.
Casey Mize looked amazing.
Mizey? I mean, they're still going to the World Series. There's only 4 teams above 500 in the American League, man. They're doing this without Stanton, without Judge. The problem is like, when they lose by 1 or 2 runs. But when they win, they beat the shit out of people. And it's either an onslaught or it's a 5-4 loss in the 9th inning.
Right.
So, and I mean, this is what it is. This is who the New York Yankees are. And they're unapologetic about it. Cashman made a decision this offseason. And I'm on board with what he did. He's like, listen, I'm going to be able to beat the Dodgers. We're going to have the best starting pitching staff in the fucking league. And we're going to expect our guys to go.
Yes. This team is beating the Dodgers.
They hit too. They hit a lot.
Right. Thank you.
And you know what? I'm starting to think that Aaron Judge ain't coming back. Because how many
fracture in the rib?
How many specialists have left? Why are so many doctors coming in to see it? They keep he keeps seeing all these doctors. What are we looking at? If it's a rib fracture, what are we looking at?
Right.
That's my whole question. Is if it's a rib fracture, then what do all these guys keep coming and looking at him for? It's a rib fracture. See you in 6 weeks.
Right.
What are we talking about?
More than 6 weeks. That's the problem. So, what do you do? How do you inject life into this team? How do you inject?
Well, once you get by like their first 4 guys, it's pretty smooth sailing after that.
Yeah. Yeah. The only team that I think could put a scare into them is the Mariners. And here's why.
No, you know the team. There's only one.
Don't say it.
Rays.
Don't say it.
That's the only team that's going to change the game. They're going to have to play the Rays in a 3-game series, and the fucking Rays are going to beat their ass.
Oh, my God.
And that's the only thing that's going to make Boone lose his job, Cashman lose his job, and then they're going to go into a different direction.
But that's the thing. They're not going to lose their job. It's just going to be, oh, we didn't have GC. We didn't have Judge. If we had Judgy, I feel like things are going to turn for us. Things are about to turn for us.
He's moving the needle.
He's moving the needle. He's moving. Yeah.
He's really on top of things.
Oh, my.
I'm on the bottom.
It's fucking ridiculous. But the Mariners, the reason why I think the Mariners have a good shot is because of that top 4 rotation. Right? Kirby, you have Kirby, Wu,
Castillo, like, that plays, man. That absolutely plays. If they ever got anybody they could fucking hit, you know,
it's hard to hit in that ballpark.
Though. It is hard to hit in that ballpark, and yet you had a guy like Eugenio Suarez who managed to do it, right? And you let him go back to Cincinnati.
He's hurt now.
Yeah, but you had a guy like Suarez. You had a guy like Naylor. You have Naylor. You have guys that could do it. Now, who's available that you can go get? And because Jerry DePoto, he'll make trades. That's the one thing about Jerry DePoto, that he will make moves. And the Angels, they're done too. They just fired Perry Manassian, their GM. They're moving on from him.
Good for him.
John Mozeliak is taking over.
Trade Trout.
And you know what? Trade him in division. Trade him to the fucking Mariners. Who cares? Who gives a shit at this point? You just, you know, there's no pride there. There's no, you know, interdivision rivalry. We need to get better. So you're going to give us some fucking prospects. Anybody who wants Trout is going to get held over a barrel, whether it's the Phillies, whether it's the Marlins, whether it's the Mariners, whether it's the Blue Jays, whoever. But this is the time. Right? You need a bat? They have a bat. Go get them. If you're Jerry DePoto, go get him. It's your former team. Go get him. I don't care. Make that move. You want to be serious. You want to challenge the Yankees. You got to make some moves. The Rays, they're playing three-dimensional chess. Right? They have their eyes on this 17-year-old kid in A-ball who'll be up here in September throwing 102. Like, that's
they've got a really great rotation.
The Rays are fantastic. The Rays are consistently
fantastic. The Rays are just fantastic.
They figured it out. They absolutely figured out how to do this with the low payroll. They figured it out. But the Yankees, as presently constituted, the worst thing they could do is get the bye. They're done. They're done like dinner. The worst thing they could do is get above the Rays and finish in first or in the top two. That would be a disaster for them.
Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next.
Heard you missed us. We're back. We have more of our World Cup breakdown. This time we're talking about the knockout stage. Joining us on the In Route once again, Fuck Clout CEO, the purveyor of Fuck Clout hot takes, Gil Godoy. What's up, brother?
What's going on, everybody?
And host
round two,
of
round, two.
Round two. Round two. Let's go. Round two fight. And from Inner Who, Ben Bean. What's going on, Ben?
How's it going?
So first things first, the elephant in the room, in case you guys haven't noticed, but we got to talk about it. Gil, you still have your beard, man.
I know, bro. That Knicks parade, if you guys did not go, I went to 2 Giants parades, and that was at least $1.5 million each, right? The capacity of human beings in that square mileage of like 2 square miles was at least 4 to 5 million. I mean, the actual parade route was, okay, 2 million, fine. But the avenues to the east and west and south and north were two avenues deep of people, street, car, building, window, everything. And you couldn't sit if you wanted to. Like, you just couldn't. It was just, I've never seen that many people. It blew my mind away. And you know, it was something impressive. And, you know, it hit me. The epiphany came when I was standing on, like, Fulton Street, looking like I was a block away from the parade route. And a bunch of guys were in front of me. And they just happened to turn around, like, yo, your beard's so dope. Don't ever cut it. He just said it out of nowhere. I was like, what? Like, yeah, man, I think it's crazy. And it just stuck. And I was like, I wish I had that on camera. And then I started talking to them about it. Like, yeah, you know, I was thinking about doing it today, but there's just no place. Like, there were so many cops here. Like, God forbid I pulled out a scissor, bro. That would have been the last thing.
Yeah,
the last thing you'd seen me.
He's getting boy. He's not a boy. Exactly.
Tall guy, long beard, scissors in hand. You know, it's a, but
you know what? Alvarado would have shaved your beard, though. Alvarado was wilding, man.
I mean, listen, that guy won the championship, and within less than 24 hours, he was in the Queens Puerto Rican Day Parade, or Brooklyn Puerto Rican Day. That's wild.
Two of them, right? There was him and one other player.
You
right?
had the Manhattan one, and you had, I guess now you have a Brooklyn one in, what is it? What area?
It was like two, he was there with Jordan Clarkson, right?
Clarkson, yeah, and the one in Brooklyn. And I'm like, because that one started later. So I'm like, that's passion, bro. That's passion. And, but that Knicks parade was surely, I've never seen, like I said, I've never seen that many people. Maybe a Yankee parade, if they won now.
No, probably it would never happen because the whole thing is like, I was talking to somebody on the train about this. You know, the Knicks, I mean, in New York, there's no other kind of basketball fan. Mm-hmm. You're either a Knicks fan or you're not a basketball fan, right? They're not splitting with the Nets. They're probably 10%, 8% of New York is a Nets fan, but 90% or 88% is like they're Knicks fans and they're savage. They've been waiting for this. And in every other sport, Mets and Yankees, there's way more Yankee fans, but it's still a city divided. Same thing with the Rangers. Rangers, Islanders, it's still a Ranger
even
town.
Even the Devils.
But,
you even have some Devils fans in New York.
You're 100% right. Devils is definitely a tri-state area team. And the same, you know, so, and the same thing for football. Football, it's probably 75-80% Giant fans. Yeah. Then there's Jet fans, but it's not the same. And also, this took place in the summertime. It was hot. Like, everybody wanted to come out. Everybody wanted to celebrate.
I took a bus from Fredericksburg, Virginia, the day before. And that bus starts in Richmond. It comes from North Carolina, actually. So, this is about four stops before me going up north. And you must say, let's say it holds 150 people. There was probably already 60 people on this bus. Out of those 60 people, 40 of them were wearing Knicks wear. They went up for the parade. And that's just one bus in one day. I was like, yo, this is nuts.
Oh, I know people that flew in from Florida. I know people that flew in from North Carolina.
Yeah.
People and flying in from California. People were not missing this.
I got there around 5:30, 5:45. And I was already online for 2 hours until they cut it off. Like, even if you were on that line for 2 hours, you were not getting to the parade route. Like, people literally went from the bar to the parade. It was like no other way you would have gotten there otherwise. Like, I at least took a 4 hour nap, but nope, I got up at 4 o'clock. If I was there by 5:30, and just so many people. It was amazing. Like, in a positive way, there wasn't sheer violence, but I mean, you did have knuckleheads that had no part in being there for that problem, but I mean, amazing.
I mean, you know, there's always going to be knuckleheads in any crowd, and you know, overall, like you gotta give Mamdani his due. You know, like they were able to have a controlled and peaceful gathering outside of the fools. The one thing I'm not too keen on was the bus of VIP fans. Like, do you really need to get Ben Stiller? Ben Stiller can get there on his own. Martha Stewart, 80-year-old Martha Stewart can get there on her own.
I know. I'm so tired of seeing, like, Timothée Chalamet, like, acting so important.
The kid's 20 years old, and he has better access than I do, and I'm 40. I'm double his age. I didn't mind so much the celebrity thing. It's just because we're probably the only team that, like, shows love to their celebrity fans, you know? Like, gives them their moment of fame, which is fine. Because when you look at L.A., none of those guys are loyal, outside of Jack Nicholson, are loyal Laker fans. They're just there to, like, promote a video or a show. Yeah. That's where they sit front row. The Knicks, like, those guys have been there for a minute. So I'm like, all right, kudos. It kind of makes sense. At the 50, I don't think they'll run it back. If we, like, win again, my only suggestion, regardless of who's the mayor, was there was no way they could contain that. There was just, with champion, you know, the canyons of champions, there's no way they could contain all these people. But what they should have probably think about in the future is, all right, the Knicks are the anomaly. Like, maybe you started at the Garden, you come down 8th Avenue, you wrap around Battery Park, and then you go up the canyon, because at least you could have people spread out, you know, because you will have that many New Yorkers. you will have that many New Yorkers there. And everybody can show up. Because when I say, I just never seen that many people. Like, if I can share photos, it's absurd. Absurd amount of people wherever you look. You're just like this. I just chose a spot where there was a mall behind me and I can use the bathroom. But ultimately, they closed that mall off because there was just too many people coming out of the train stations. But it was nuts.
No. And it's... Yeah, there's not going to be anything like it anytime soon. You're 100% right on that. But we're through the group stage, and we're now into the knockouts. And, yeah, none of us have that great of a record. But let's be real here.
Oh, yeah, our group stage. Kate Bird, right away, just shot us down in Congo. They
shredded.
Africa really just put us down. Like,
Kate Verde, baby.
Kate Verde. Thanks for coming.
Let's go.
Apparently not.
I mean, it's nuts what we're seeing, but I love it. I love the fact that there's teams that we've never seen, so you can't coach to it, you know? And I think Argentina's coach said it yet today. He's like, listen, man, that country's not to be taken lightly. Basically, he said they're a hard team to play. Look what they've done to both Uruguay and Spain alone and Saudi Arabia. He's like, you can't take people like that. They're grown athletes, you know? They just happen to be together on the team, and they're playing right at the right time. They're peak. Would I be surprised if they beat Argentina? Absolutely not. It's really the mindset of the young players in Argentina of how they handle pressure, because these guys will pressure you. They will come at you full damn force. But yeah. But outside of that,
have they Germany scored? Game, they haven't scored, right?
Okay, Brett, I think they have only one goal.
Yeah,
they haven't won. They've scored, but they have not won. But they have not lost.
Yeah, they have what a
flat. That's pretty impressive,
I think.
But to hold Spain to a draw, you know, and then Uruguay, it's like, I mean, not that Uruguay was favored. I mean, they're right now flying Delta home or Spirit, you know. They're God bless them.
They're walking, yeah. They're
walking. They're freaking walking.
Yeah. I mean,
Spirit, they got to put the plane back together.
Bro, that's embarrassing. That, I mean, that's wild. But, you know, I noticed something. There's like six coaches in the World Cup are Argentinian coaches, which is even wilder. Like, yeah. I didn't know that. And then I realized, like, oh, wait, their coach is Spanish. The Colombian coach is Spanish. I forgot. I was looking it up earlier. It's like six coaches that are Argentina. I'm like, wow, they were really trying. A lot of these countries were really invested, and they didn't get the results they wanted. So that's what you get.
I mean, I'm also surprised that Scotland's coach quit. They were the toast of the tournament, man. Like, they were the part. They were
just vibing. I don't think they wanted to win.
To come out to every baseball game ever. Like, just come out. They need to do a world tour.
Yo, like, they came out to party.
They asked them. They were like, oh, do you know what's happening? They were like, nah.
Yeah.
They're just like, bro, oh.
You know, Z and I go to a bar called Hibernia on 49th and 9th. And yeah. one of the three owners is Scottish, and he's always spoken about it. And actually, he was in Scotland during this because he lost a family member. But when I went there for the Knicks parade, the day I landed, I went straight there because, like, I'm just going to hang out with people I know. And some of the Tartan Army started showing up, and they ended up there. And I was like, this is nuts. Absolutely nuts. Like, they're just, where do you get this energy at this age? Like, older than me, just throwing them back and just celebrating every song or every event or... No, it was wild. And
I just want to know where they got all their disposable income from. I mean, I live most in the United States, and I couldn't go to any games.
Nah, dude.
Yeah, most of them go back and deal with credit card debt for the rest of their lives. That's what they said. Like, we just refinance our homes, basically.
Well, who was the English guy? I think he sold his summer home to fund his World Cup trip. Like, oh, excuse me, I could just sell my summer home.
Well, that German fan just made the announcement on Twitter, the one that was getting, like, going viral in every state. I mean, his game is done, you know, so his journey's done. He's no longer, he's going to get off internet for a while because he's too famous for his own good. But I mean, I just love how this country embraced everybody, man. Like, I know we have a lot, everywhere in the world has a lot going on, but to see more positive than negative was like an amazing, still an amazing thing.
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to Buc-ee's.
Yeah, man.
It's an amazing place. It's an amazing Buc-ee's. Place if you never.
Buc-ee's and Hidden Valley. Like, those are the two big winners of European invasion of America.
Well, Buc-ee's is no joke, man. Buc-ee's. It's the culture, man. It's
is that the gas insane. Station?
Yeah.
That's the they're biggest gas station.
They're opening one up 20 minutes from me north in what's called Manassas. They just bought the land for like $18 million. And they should be open in about 2 years. It's going to have 120 car pumps. Insane.
Jesus.
Like, you don't need that right now in this part of Virginia, because where I am, I'm in the center point between Richmond and Arlington, so I'm right in the middle. So 20 minutes south, you're going to have Kalahari Resorts, which is a huge resort. Then 20 minutes from me north is going to be Bucky's. So that I-95 is going to be brutal. Brutal.
We drove past there on the way to Myrtle Beach, and like, that Kalahari is coming together, man.
It's like, opening up like November 17th of this year. Yeah. It's a big, big, big. But the 700 rooms, it's massive.
That 95 corridor is starting to really like
take getting shape. Tight. It's going to start getting real tight. Shape. Yeah.
This tournament is taking shape too. Like, we've already seen Panama. Canada. Way different. Canada, Paraguay, Brazil expected. And, you know, they've already advanced. And right now we have Netherlands, Morocco. But
yeah. This is the game to watch right now, is this game.
This is the
one. I'm watching it right now.
Yeah, so 0-0, 47th minute right now. And they could certainly, Netherlands could definitely be one of those teams. I know that, D, you said that they were, you know, Netherlands would be, pick. They can make a run.
Absolutely. They can make a run.
And I don't see, you know, like, it's still, you know, to be determined, because you figure, and this is where this gets dangerous, you figure they're on the same side as France. There's a date. They're waiting for France at the end of the day. That's a matchup. Oh, yeah.
Don't forget, the Netherlands are also the Buffalo Bills of FIFA international play. I mean, they've been to how many World Cup finals and lost them all, right?
Yeah.
So every team has the more they progress in every tournament, the more weight that's on their back because of that fact. But I mean, they can go toe-to-toe with France, but France is just playing strong. Like, they're fluid. And what did I say? Mbappe's going to be their problem, but I mean, he's kind of stepping out of the picture and letting Dembele play a little bit. So I'm like, kudos. I mean, that's what needs to happen, right? But Netherlands are playing.
Did win the Ballon d'Or, so no slouch.
Well, that's what I was saying. They could just put like any one of their guys on there; they'll just score like three goals.
Yeah, they're playing smart. I hope it doesn't get to their heads, France. I mean, I'm not I have obviously favoritism to other teams, but they're playing good. You can't take that away from them. This game right now in Morocco, if they go into the first half 0-0, it really comes down to the coach. How do you make adjustments? You know, because you're going to have to. You don't want – it's like UFC. You don't want to go to the judges, right? The cards. You don't want to go to penalties because you just don't know the outcome.
No.
You just have to make adjustments on the field now.
Yeah, we just saw like a few hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
Penalties is not what you want to do, because if your keepers have zero experience at a World Cup stage, international club game is one thing, but the World Cup is a different beast. And if your goalie – I don't care what you do in practice. If your goalie isn't prepared for that, you don't want no part of that.
No, definitely not. And just to round that out, Sweden might have a chance here. But if they can somehow work it to PKs, I mean, you have a puncher's chance. But can Sweden really weather that storm? You have Isak, you have Ilanga, you have Jokeres, you have firepower, but can you handle the level that you're going to get from France? I mean, Bradley Barkel has come off the bench, for God's sake.
Like, I think France is going to route him. I think it's if France does route him, the whole World Cup tournament is kind of just leaning that way, regardless of their path. I just think France is too strong for those European countries. It's how they play with African and South American countries where they struggle, because all their systems in Europe are pretty much similar outside of the German Bundesliga. So France has just dominated these European teams. They're so fluent in playing them. But, I mean, we didn't get a chance to see, what is it, Norway with them, because they put their B team in, which is fine. I get it.
Yeah.
Give them more minutes, fine. I'm not mad at it. I know that was going to be a strategy. I mean, I said in our last podcast, what Argentina wants to do is win their first two games so they can play the young kids in the third game. That's exactly what a lot of teams do. You don't want to play your best stars. You don't want to risk injury. You don't want to risk anything. But France is very fluent in the European style, so that's why they dominate those guys. It's just when they deal with the headaches of, like, Colombia, Ecuador, then you go to Morocco. It's like, they're going to have, it's a slower pace for them. They don't like that. They don't.
And now we're in the second half of the pack here. We're talking about Belgium, Senegal, US versus Bosnia, Spain, Austria, which on paper is going to be a really strong matchup. And then you have Portugal, Croatia, which could also be a really physical and strong matchup. So what do we see coming out of those four matchups? Who's facing who?
In my video, what I said was USA's taking that one. It won't be easy. They're going to win that one. And then after that, that's the end of their journey. Mm-hmm. I think Portugal's last game will be held next. They're not beating Croatia. Croatia has a lot of farewell tours on that team, and they've been in the top of the class for the last, what, 8 to 12 years. They don't have an identity, Portugal. I don't care how many, you know, I love Ronaldo. I'm not a hater of him at all. But they're not getting past that. I take USA. I take Croatia on that. And who was the other team we spoke about?
Belgium and Senegal.
I want Senegal to win, but I think Belgium actually might win this one. So I'm calling Belgium on it.
And then Spain.
I think
Austria,
it goes either way.
Spain's definitely taking that game. There's no way they lose that game. I just can't. I fathom it. I'm a big fan of Yamil. I just like his whole story, how he came up. I'm a fan of that. Hard living, becomes this 18-year-old superstar. He still plays with his little brother. Like, you know, yeah, he can travel on any yacht he wants, but he still does his part. And the kid's only like 18, 20. I like his whole story, especially with his family coming up. I always respect that. Yeah. But Portugal's tour ends this next game.
All right, Ben, what do you got?
All right, I have it open right now. I'm looking. I think U.S., I think they will beat Bosnia. I don't think that'll be a huge shocker if that happens. But I think Belgium or Senegal could take them down. I don't think... Like, you guys all watched Turkey, right? That was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I thought it was embarrassing. U.S., mm-hmm. Turkey? I thought that was embarrassing.
The U.S. back line against Turkey is awful.
Yeah, no, that...
It wasn't just the back line. It was, like, everything.
Like, you were in the driver's seat, and then you just gave up the wheel. And then... You couldn't even, and the thing is, how do you handle pressure? You know, okay, you tied the game. You see a lot of teams getting more aggressive. USA just kind of like chilled out, and then they lose the game. It's like, bro, this is welcome to FIFA. Like, you can only get this chance once every 4 years. You know, yeah. It doesn't matter what you did like yesterday. You know, you're as good as your last practice and your last moment. But I think that's where USA struggles right now with themselves. They don't have a consistency. They don't have a story. They're going to get through this game just like Canada got through their game, and then that's the end of their road. But whoever they face next, most likely, will just clean house. And, but yeah.
I mean, don't overlook Bosnia. Like, Bosnia will put a scare into them.
Like, Bosnia are tough dudes. They are very rugged humans. They will beat them up. USA just has to come out early and come out fast. That's it. And just sustain.
What I'm scared of is they see Bosnia. They're like, oh, it's not a France or a Germany. Well, not Germany anymore. But they see it's not like a big team, and they're going to put on their B team and get, like, swept.
Yeah. And when do they play USA tomorrow?
US plays Wednesday at 8.
What's the date on that? What's Wednesday's date? You're going to lose before the 4th of July? That would be crazy. That will be crazy. And you know, Bosnia is probably looking at that like, let's go. Even more.
Yeah.
Bosnia is not, like I said, it's not a wall. That's why I said USA is going to struggle to pull this one out, whether it's a 1-0 game. That's what the coach wants, a 1-0 game. He does not, like, he's going to play it safe. He's going to keep the ball in the midfield and pick his shots. There's three things they got to do: keep the ball away from Bosnia, keep it in the midfield, and try to get a high percentage shot.
Yeah,
that's it. And then just hold the ball in the midfield. So if they run a 4-3-2, typically that's what they run. That's what they're going to do. They're going to keep the ball right in the midfield. What Bosnia might do is put one in the front to keep everybody in the midfield, just to take the ball from them. But USA is going to play it safe, and they should. Their goal is to keep winning. Don't forget, this coach has, what, 2 wins? Mm-hmm. He's tied for the most U.S. coach wins for 2.
Yeah, they don't win a lot.
My man.
They don't win a lot. So the thing is, how do you just take the lead, hold the lead, keep the ball? That's it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The quick strike offense is what they need. They need Balogun to show up tomorrow. They need on Wednesday. They need Pulisic to show up.
They need to start Sebastian Berhalter. That might be a crazy take. I think they need to be starting him.
He's a pretty good midfielder. He's a solid midfielder, but I think they could take down Bosnia. But I think Senegal beats Belgium, and I think Senegal beats the U.S. So I think that, you know, there's enough firepower on Senegal that they will put a scare into some traditional powers here, and then Spain, yeah. Portugal on the other side.
Let's see.
I think Portugal has enough to take Spain, not just because I have them winning the whole thing, but I think you end up with Senegal-Portugal, and that's where Senegal is done. I think Portugal moves on from there.
You haven't gone farther than I thought.
I mean, this is a good group of games. Like, you definitely have
You have quality. Like, Spain, Austria is quality. Portugal, Croatia is quality. Like, that side of the bracket for this part of the tournament, that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good cluster of games there.
Y'all be surprised if Portugal could beat Croatia, much less Spain. That's a good take over there.
That's the thing. Croatia is a tough task. Right,
Spain
there.
Spain does not impress me. Like, I don't know if they're capable of turning it on. They like to think so, right? They turned it on against Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
like, they're not playing Saudi Arabia right now. They're playing better teams, so you can't afford to do that stuff. And I think that hubris is going to bite you in the ass. If you better come ready to play, because you're in the knockout stage. It's win or go home. What about you, D? What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I think Senegal beats Belgium. I think USA beats Bosnia. I think Spain will take care of Austria. And I actually do. I have Croatia beating Portugal. I didn't see anything that really shined from Portugal. They look like they're done. Ronaldo is a shadow of what he used to be. So, and then I don't know. I think the USA can beat Senegal.
And I think they would have a tougher chance with Belgium. Like, they face it. They have a better chance with Senegal, I think, for some reason.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it just, at some point, it's got to click for these guys. And then I think Croatia Spain will be a great game. A great game. And I think Croatia can beat them. At least the Spain team that I've seen the last two games hasn't looked that great. And Croatia looks hungry now.
Check out part two of our knockout round preview later this week.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram account at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shot on this here show. It takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I do not.
That'd be Rafa Devers.
Yeah.
Man, they really should have left him in there. They really should have made him steal. No, that would...
Go ahead. You want to stay on? Go. No. Steal, motherfucker.
Dorn doing excellent exhibition of stretches. Jesus Christ. What are they doing in San Francisco? Jesus. They're just...
It's a bad situation.
Basura. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week, dude?
All right. So first up, I've got... the first baseman on the Toronto Blue Jays, Vlad Guerrero Jr. We are over 70 games into the season. He has yet to hit a home run at home.
Wow.
4 home runs on the season. What the fuck?
But he's the starting first baseman for the All-Star game, right? He's one of the leading vote getters?
Probably. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number 2, I've got Carlos Mendoza, the former Yankee bench coach, the former Mets manager, fired over the weekend for the Mets 34-47 start. This team under his watch has never been good. They had a lucky 2 years. They got lucky 2 years ago, and they clearly lack the talent to be efficient in the American League East this year. New York Mets, former manager, Carlos Mendoza. You are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, Germany. Team Germany. bounced in the World Cup today in PKs by Paraguay. You guys were supposed to win so you could play France on the 4th of July. Oops. In Philadelphia. Plenty of opportunities for the Germans to win. Missed penalty kicks. Missed opportunities. Germany's going home. Germany, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, you can't argue with those. Like Germany, that's inexcusable as an international power. You should not be going home right now. But there was a VAR situation and that, you know, sour grapes. It is what it is. But adios, muchacho.
Auf Wiedersehen.
I'm going to start with the Uruguayan national team. So, underperforming in this World Cup. I mean, a lot of teams underperform, right? South Korea, you have Germany, clearly underperforming. But nobody went out in a blaze of glory like Uruguay. First, you have to get through Spain, right? You have to go toe-to-toe with Spain to get to the next round. Muslera fumbles the ball, makes the save, but only gets a piece of it, gets past him 1-0. That's a problem. You muck it up as you want to do, as you usually do. And then Augustin Canobio with a bad challenge, shoving the ref, getting the red card, and just really taking this in a direction that is embarrassing. So much so that the Uruguayan Federation canceled their charter flight. And they said, gentlemen, find your own fucking way home. Adios, muchacho. We'll see you in 4 years. Uruguayan national team, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, he's back, Brendan Sorsby. This guy won't fucking go away. He won't go away. Now, the CFL has said he is not welcome in the Canadian Football League. He cannot join as a free agent. No. Not today. So, in case you didn't know, the UFL, their season already happened, so that's not happening. The NFL already said no, because he isn't in draft class. And now the CFL said no. What recourse does Sorsby have left? Just go play for Texas A&M. Take your suspension. Get better. Figure it out. And then you'll be ready week three for Abilene Christian. You'll throw 6 touchdowns and everybody will forget about this. Brendan Sorsby, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, former Detroit Lion cornerback Terrion Arnold. Yikes. 8 felony charges, 4 counts of kidnapping, 4 counts of armed robbery, stemming from an incident in Florida where he got robbed and he and his boys went after the guy that robbed him because they thought it was the driver that they hired for the weekend. Turns out it wasn't. But they lured 2 other dudes to the Airbnb that they rented and proceeded to pistol whip and hold them hostage. Suffice it to say, Mr. Arnold went from being a starting cornerback on a playoff-bound team, potentially a sleeper for the Super Bowl, to possibly facing life in prison. That's a week right there. Holy shit, that's a week. Terrion Arnold, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do
FM.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.